In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I begin today's poem with an illustration I've used many times in sermons. I think it's my favorite illustration encapsulating the spirit of Anglicanism. My spirit, because it will take us today the gospel passage in sermon text, the famous story that confesses St. Peter the Apostle. The first illustration, the great illustration of the great sea stream flowing into the river of Christendom. The one end has written, but the emphasis on sacraments, the mystery of God, the transcendence of God, with his ornaments such as incense and much of the music composed in 2,000 years, keeping the mystery of God. Got this opposition, all that is grand in the liturgy, that reminds us that he worships of God, before whom even the angels veil their faces. Then we have the great Protestant creed, glorious and political Christian, with the emphasis on the Word and the incarnate love of God, who is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ not only being the Son of God, but brother and sister. A love that is intimate. And we have such evidence of the passion of the peace, past life, and the Word leading to the praying of the Our Father, what we share in Sunday. And now the Savior Christ has taught us we are full of the faith. There is a full faith in great intimacy with the mortal, invisible God, only one, that Jesus gave us at Avenue. So we can call him to speak. It's more close to Daddy than Father. It's an offense to God rather than to others. For us, our salvation. The great Catholic Church, the great Protestant Church.
So what do you do?
Well, Anglicanism is both. Feel that great protection. Both in pain, both in practice, and both in law. And it brings us to the story today of Peter's confession. One of the most famous stories of the Bible, so important to our faith, the Church has January 18th set aside as a feast day to commemorate this event. It is called in all three of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic because they see things into a similar eye. But only in Matthew, our verse today, is the story so developed. Only in Matthew do we have the feast of words that Jesus offers to Peter. Because he says to the disciples, who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, come back. Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, it's a problem.
Who do you say that?
And it was Peter who was the first to see with his spiritual eyes. Peter was the first to say with his lips, you are Christ the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds with the beautiful words, blessed are you, Simon Bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Blessed are the son of Jonah, who is the only my Father in heaven. And I tell you this, you are Peter. And God is telling the own word, Peter in his secret name, rock. You are Peter, and all this rock I will build my church. And the course of Hades cannot prevail against it. I give you the keys, whether you lose on earth, you lose in heaven. And there's a great Catholic interpretation of this story, and a great Protestant interpretation of this story. The Catholic interpretation says that by virtue of our Lord's words to Jesus, he was the Fortuna. Jesus dealt Peter not by his many errors and there were many. He dealt it by his capability, and he became his greatest disciple. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he preached in thousands of names of the Lord. He led the church in its pleasant beginning. And the care of Peter, the office of Christ, remains unbroken to this day. 34 years ago, when I was ordained, all the priests of the church came to lay hands on my head. Some priests that were ordained in the cathedral have some of 100 priests and bishops with their heavy hands on their heads. And it symbolizes a broken chain all the way back to that first church of Peter, before it happened to all the confession. And it means something. Because it means something. The office of bishop, tradition, the lives, human lives, you see. And then we have the great Protestant interpretation of the story that says, well, not so much the person Peter, but the faith in Peter, recognizing Jesus as the Father, is on the same of the church before. From that time until now, people proclaim the faith of Jesus, and believe that that faith can only come from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to come to know Jesus Christ. Christ is only saying the same each and every Sunday. We're not just saying what we believe as individuals. We are proclaiming the faith that sustained the church for 2,000 years, the faith upon which the church has been built. So which is it? Catholic interpretation of Christ? Anglicanism says it is both. It's not only what we love them. There is meat. There's something to both interpretations. And probably the greatest advocate of Anglicanism who ever lived, the great Anglican divine, Richard Pope, the guy who was 1600, was the favorite of King Elizabeth I, say enough. Jesus' parable and illustration of his teaching has come the famous illustration describing Anglicanism of the three-legged stool that we are based upon Holy Scripture, human reason, and tradition. Involving the care of Peter and the life of Jesus and decisions made by sin and discovered sinners. And it differs from the Reformation taking place on the continent, led by Martin Luther, who said, sola scriptura, follow the scriptures. And it says that you know they have a high view of scripture, the word of God, the word of God, but also it balances human reason, it balances the human tradition. And the relationship between the three work. And as the century goes, the church evolves. From time to time, we've been saved. We've found human reason, tradition, scripture, and that is wrong. And the church evolves this way and that. What a beautiful tradition. We claim both the Protestant and the Catholic interpretation. We honor our history, we honor our legacy, we honor our tradition. And we can see that honor in our liturgy, in our ceremony, in our architecture. We also honor the faith, the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the belief that the evidence of the resurrection is not only in the tomb, but the presence, the living presence of love and fear of Jesus in our lives today. And on this, the church has been built. On October 1st, we celebrate the 175th year of this particular era of our history. I ask for every person of all possible to be here. It's the one thing that we have to be for, to represent our gratitude for so many that have gone before us. And I celebrate and I honor that of all the churches I've ever served, I know this church has honored the Catholic interpretation of the faith in Christ. Unexpected with our ornaments and our architecture and our music and our faith and our theology and all. But on the back of the altar, I'm going to talk to you, that personal, intimate relationship to Jesus Christ. So beautifully seen in the love of our community. When people come to these doors, each and every day they read, yes, it's beautiful, yes, it's my name. They feel the intimacy of the past. And we all honor the Anglican view, both Catholic and Protestant, of the confession of Jesus Christ as the Messiah as Lord. Not only in Peter's confession, your confession and mine. Amen.